The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So even though I'm a complete newbie at narrative design, I'm going to talk about it. Because this is I Should Be Writing Season 17, Episode 63.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing.
So hi there. This is I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers, and I am your host, Mer Lafferty. We live stream Tuesdays and Thursdays via Twitch, twitch.tv/mightymer. And if you want to come to the live show and hang out, that's great. If you want to get this on the feed afterwards, that also is great. I'm just glad you want to hang out. What you see on the stream is the stream dog. He's already had the cam turned on and been treated twice. So he has, I believe, come to terms with the fact that he's not going to get treated again and gone to doze in his special spot, which is the companion cube rug on my floor. So what I've been working on, absolutely nothing. I've been working on some outlines, and I'm getting this theory that most of the murderers in Agatha Christie novels would be Moriarty level because the things they work out to not get caught is they're brilliant plans. It's just Poirot and Marple are smarter. So I did some outlining and I'm trying to figure out the Agatha Christie thing because these people make such intricate murder plans. Murder on the Orient Express. Very intricate. And then there were none. Wow. That was intricacies on a level of themes. Because everybody died according to the children's rhyme. So, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think of a way to get my next murder mystery more complex. So that's mostly what I thought about. But we also have a part of this show called Good News, and I'm very excited to say someone emailed me with good news. I'm very behind on my emails, but I remember this one. So I have no good news. No, I have good news. I've since traveling and spending unexpected time in ERs, I've tested negative for COVID yesterday. I'm going to take another test today or tomorrow or Thursday. I'm going to take 3 tests. So that's my good news. I'm still here. Anyway, Raven's Creations in the chat says, good news, I'm 2 classes away from my associates. Done by Christmas. I'm excited and also excited to get back into my writing with much more vigor. That is very cool. Congratulations, Raven's Creations, and I'm looking forward to seeing how your writing takes off when you're done with your associates. If anybody else has good news in the chat, let me know. I'm going to try to find that good news in my email. Good news! Okay, yay! Feel free to use my name. Brian says, thank you for your good news segment. I've been waiting to write in until I hit my short story rejection milestone of 100 rejections. I'm currently sitting at 98 since I started submitting in late 2019, but last night I got the news that my work will be appearing in a horror anthology later this year. I can't believe it. podcast has really kept me plugging along, even as I racked up rejection after rejection. Thank you. Your encouragement makes a lot of difference in the world. Thank you, Brian. I know you sent this a couple of days ago, but really, really needed to hear that today. And I understand you were waiting for your 100th rejection, but coming in with, is this your first sale? If it's your first sale, great. If it's a sale that came after 198 rejections, that's cool too. But congratulations, Brian. Everybody in chat is cheering for Brian. Underpope says, wow, 100 rejections. That's great for Brian. Shale says, wow. So a lot of love. Well done. Keep going. So yesterday, or a while back, I said I felt weird because I want to game on Twitch because I like gaming. I like it a lot. And I like chatting with people while I do podcasts on Twitch. So it seemed obvious that those two would go together. But because I'm bringing my mostly writing audience here from my podcast, and I don't know how many of them are gamers, and I game at different times, that audience really isn't building. And so I've been trying to think, am I doing it for the audience? Kind of. I mean, we all want to grow and be larger and have bigger numbers and get lots of sponsorships and subscriptions and suddenly make this your day job. I don't want it to be my day job. It's stressing me out doing 4 hours a week. And that's, again, that's on camera. But I thought one way I could tie it in to my podcasting is there are plenty of interactive books out there, stories, some with lots of art, some with not a lot of art. So I started to think about doing one of those. And so I would say I would play the game and then I would talk about it. So you don't have to have seen it. I'm going to try to be to where you can't see it. But if you were here yesterday and you have questions or comments, please let me know if I've got it wrong, because I've never done a game. I've tried. It's really hard for me to think in a branching narrative form. Really hard. I'm sorry, the Hetman. Welcome. Nice to see you. I missed Hetman's good news. I just turned in a short RPG adventure. A positive reaction from the editor so far. That's exciting. Can you tell us which game? Adventures are fun to write. I remember those. Tell us if you're comfortable. If you're not, then just congratulations and here's some applause. And confetti. Okay. So what I tried to do was Dream Daddy. Dream Daddy is it's a gay love story about a widowed man and his daughter moving to an area that have an awful lot of single gay parents. And so you suddenly, you're meeting a lot of people who also have kids but are available to date. And it's a really, I mean, it's a funny slash fun concept because, you know, I'm really glad that gay romance and stories that center on people that are not quite like me are getting play. But I wanted to play it. I said I wanted to play it because I heard it was good and it sounded, I've seen some playthroughs, but I was trying to not appropriate too much, even though I was obviously playing a gay man because that's the main character. And then I got in there and they have three body types, sort of a muscular and slim, sort of a more comfortable dad bod, and one that's very thin. Not emaciated, but just like not muscular, but thin. But then they have three more that look, if you just glance at it, they look sort of identical, except for the ones on top are wearing tank tops and the one on the bottom are wearing like sports bras. And it's like, you can choose muscular dad with binder. And I realized that these are for trans dads. You can play a trans father. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I'd already said out loud that I wasn't going to try to be like a black gay dad or, you know, do something different to appropriate someone else. But I was excited to see people had the option to play a trans gay dad. So good on you, Dream Daddy. And it doesn't say like this is a transgender person. It's just it's muscular body with a binder, and they didn't have cleavage. Binders really are supposed to push your breasts down, not enhance them. So yeah, that was a really interesting choice to make at the beginning. The Hetman says it's for Hackmaster, so few will play it, but it's built for convention play as a taster for the system. That's great. I never played Hackmaster. I did write for Knights of the Dinner Table once. I mean, I wrote a column for them a long time ago, around the time Hackmaster was coming out, and I thought it looked like a lot of fun. I just haven't done a lot of role-playing as an adult, which is sad, but yeah, what Jolly's done with Hackmaster is pretty impressive. So that's awesome. So the first thing is, it's a little slow in the beginning, and that's I've had narrative games lose me because of the very slow build-up. Because first your daughter's trying to wake you up, and then you're talking about all the moving boxes, and then you decide in the middle of a move to go through one of the boxes and see pictures, and you see the picture of your deceased husband and get sad, and then you see pictures of your daughter as she's getting older, and you talk about that a little bit. And as I said, it's slow. I was surprised when, like, I was an hour and 45 minutes in and I hadn't even met all the dads I could romance. But one thing it did that really interested me is the father and daughter have a very tight bond. And it's a tight, comfortable bond where they, you know, they joke with each other and they laugh at each other's jokes. And but you can see she comes to him when she wants permission for something, or she still treats him as, you know, a respected adult. So it's not just buddy buddy, now he's gonna let her go out and drink because he does that with his buddies or whatever. But it's a really healthy relationship, which is good because it doesn't hide the fact that you are melancholy after losing your husband. That's fair, Kimmy. It was slow, but I did appreciate the characterization of the daughter. She's not just a prop for the premise of the game. That is true, she's not. Although it was slow, but I did appreciate all the stories about the Emmas. There's like the Emma that was the best friend, and the Emma that you get to choose whether she pooped her pants during a sleepover, stole people's pets, or fired flaming tennis balls at the police station. Remember that, Emma? So I kind of want a DLC involving your daughter Amanda and Emma, but that's going away from the Dream Daddy premise, which is a gay romance. So then you start meeting, when you get to the new area, you start meeting the dads, and it's really interesting because the designers have put in very different people with different children in their lives. And I mean, like, you meet your old college buddy who's running with a baby, and he mentions he's got twins at home. So here's your ultra buff dad. And then, so I kind of want to romance him, but he says bro a lot. A whole lot. And there's the dad whose personality quirks is he gets anxious and talks a lot, and it's adorable. And from, you know, you don't get to choose all your dialogue, so you actually talk like that a little bit too, so that seems like an obvious attraction thing there. And you've got the guy who's got more of a dad bod with his daughter, who's also not small, And like, how often do you see just characters of, fat characters in games that are not evil to be laughed at, or, they exist in the world of the game, there they are. And really appreciated that. And I know I know the goth dad's secret, and I'm assuming everybody has a weird secret that you learn about if you get closer to him. If you plan on playing this, you gotta, I won't spoil it for you, but the last streamer I saw play it did the goth dad experience, so. And then you've got the guy who's a little scary. He's got a pink polo shirt on and a sky blue sweater around his neck. Or maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember. And he's a youth minister at the church, and when and he drops off cookies, which your daughter eats everything. She eats every single one. But then when you take the plate back, he's got four kids. Three kids are in the on the lawn just kind of sitting there, like little Stepford dolls, just little blonde children. And the twins are fraternal, a boy and a girl, but they pretty much look like the twins from The Shining. They come and play with us, Danny. Come and play with us forever and ever and ever and ever. And then the blood comes down and all that. Kids don't speak to you. They just are creepy robots. I actually heard that there's a much darker plot line with that daddy that the design team decided eventually not to use. But the people who like to dive into the code and see what's there, they found it. And that was a, that's an interesting thing, and I would love to talk to designers about that, because you make a ton of decisions when you're designing these things. And when you change code, and writers do it too, except not in the exact same way. When you change code, all you have to do is put whatever language you have, put marks there to just comment it out, which means it disappears. So if you look at the code, you can see what's there, but if you look at the game, you don't see it. And I know a lot of programmers just comment stuff out, because then if they ever think they might need it, they'll go back to it. A lot of writers, if they kill their darlings, this is easiest to do in Scrivener. They'll just put the cut part into another folder or into a special spot. So I think I need to look this up. I was just taking on the streamer's commentary, but I think some people got upset, but it's like, that wasn't in the game. It's like, you went looking for worms. You found a worm. What did you expect? Because I expect that if with this narrative branching plot line, there's going to be a lot of back and forth, a lot of tweaks, a lot of changes, and a lot of, well, maybe we don't want that super dark plot line. So, yeah, I've only met a handful of dads. They're really good characterizations because they're very different people. That's the thing I struggle with. Because, like, on first draft, all the characters sound like me. And then I gotta remember, oh, that's not realistic. So, it's really nice seeing these dads with very distinct personalities. And there's like this, there is a whisper of danger because I watched Urban Bohemian play this, and he did not romance the, I don't know, I suppose if he was on an episode of Supernatural, you'd think he was hot, but the way they drew him, he just looks kind of like a skeevy person. He's, unshaven and just looks, well, Urban Bohemian called him Trash Daddy. And I can't not do that now. So, I understand if you go into Trash Daddy's plot line, it's a little more on the edge. I don't even know who his kid is. I don't know if I ever saw the kid. So not only do you have to take these ideas of these very distinct people, but you need to figure out where they go if the person wants to enhance that relationship. And what I really, really don't get is when you take the, like, you want to be nice to everybody, and how the story progresses if you don't show a preference for somebody. I mean, sometimes you're just chatting and the dad will just light up and hearts will come out, or hearts and eggplants, which threw me a little bit. If they're delighted and like dark aura, if you say something they don't like. I said something bad about sports that Trash Daddy didn't like. SB's Gemini says, I just looked it up. You're right. He looks like a murderer. Also, I need to play this game. It's fun. The characterizations are really drawing me in. I can see myself playing this more than once, and it's got the little fast-forward button at the top that I assume is for, you've played this through, and you want to focus on another plot line, so we're just going to let you zoom past this. Let's look at the sad pictures of the dead father and the little girl growing up. So it seems like replayability is easy, which is good. Because when I did Had a Full Boyfriend, you had to date a certain number of the love interests before the game got into its highly, highly stranger second half. The first half, you're dating birds. You're human dating birds. And then the game gets weird. Yeah, as I said in the title, I don't have a lot to say because I'm still kind of noodling over it myself. And I'm thinking about the choices made in other games that I've seen on streams. For example, if you get to a 8-heart level, I'm sorry, this is a tiny bit of a spoiler on Stardew Valley, but if you get to 8 hearts with everybody, every person of the same gender, you will have a moment where they basically confront you and they all break up with you. So it's interesting that he kept track of all of that, that it was something that might need to be addressed. It's not addressed in Boyfriend Dungeon, which is interesting, because even though one guy said, I prefer to be monogamous, he never, ever, ever asked about the other weapons I was dating. Yes, I've dated birds and weapons. You can tell what kind of narrative games I like. Although yesterday a streamer was talking about how he liked the idea of Amanda from Dream Daddy becoming the protagonist in Boyfriend Dungeon. You know, it's a couple of years later, Amanda's on her own, she starts dating weapons. But one thing we talk about in narrative design, and I'm mostly talking about writing stories, is conflict pushes the story along and makes things interesting. And I've talked about this before, especially in the under the lens of the pandemic, which is, I don't want to do anything mean to my characters because there's enough crap happening. I want everyone to be happy and hold hands and eat really good creme brulee. No one wants to read that book. So I have to make the creme brulee split and separate, and I have to make the person you do it for actually dump you that night and all that. So it's interesting to me to see where in the story you should feel a good relationship can go. Some writers, like the writers at Marvel, believe that if they ever fulfill a love story and make it happy, it can't last. It can't. I started reading Spider-Man when J. Michael Straczynski started writing it, and we're talking 06? 07? I can't remember. And he was doing Peter and Mary Jane were married. They were separated, but they were married. But then Aunt May finds out about his secret identity and all that. It's there's a lot of revealing in this plot line. And at the end, they decided that even after Peter and Mary Jane, like, reunited, they decided that a happy relationship was not interesting, and they retconned the whole thing. Like, I can't remember if it was back in time or rewriting history or what, but Mary Jane didn't know. Aunt May didn't know. He was single. And I'm like, why did I just collect 10 volumes of Spider-Man just to throw it all away? I hate this way of going about narrative. I hate it. And you know, if you... there's plenty of happy relationships. You know, I know Friends has a lot of squicky parts. But the Monica and Chandler plot line is awesome. It's like they are almost always in sync. And even at the point where she opens all the wedding presents and to hide the fact that he lost the cameras, he busts in another wedding and kisses the bride to get a picture of their first kiss, quote-unquote. Like a woman would not know that that wasn't her wedding dress. But anyway, he's just like, did you open all the presents without me? And she said, did you kiss another woman? And he said, call it even? She's like, all right. And they high five and the scene's over. It's like, that's the kind of story that's the kind of happy relationship. You can put a little bit of conflict in, but ultimately, you know, they're going to be okay. And, but some, like, the people of Marvel think that's impossible. There's pleasure to be had. There's enjoyment to be had from looking at a strong relationship. It's good to find the conflict within that relationship, though. Because if you've got a strong foundation, then you could build some conflict on it and still have the strong foundation when you're done with the conflict. I think a lot of 80s TV shows relied on that. Or was Roseanne the 90s? Anyway, 80s, 90s TV, you know, have a strong family unit that the parents are, even if they have conflicts, they are a united unit that is redundant. But sometimes I feel like people try to throw in conflict wherever they go. If somebody can tell me an action movie where the male hero does not have an estranged wife or child, that he has to deal with this estrangement while he's saving the world from aliens or whatever, tell me, because I don't know what it is. It's just like, you've got to give this guy a troubled home life to make him interesting. Firefly did pretty well with Wash and Zoe too. That is true. Thank you, Edward. Yeah. Especially, there's a point where they talk about how, because they're veterans, Zoe and Mal are very close. And it's played out to where a guy kidnaps both Mal and Wash, and he's like trying to do the super villain monologue about how she's going to have to choose which one. She can only take one with her. Oh no, is she going to do her old friend? And she's like, that one, let's go. And she takes her husband. And of course they come back and they save Mal and they put his ear back on. But yeah, that's the kind of thing. It's like, even if she didn't deny that she and Mal had a close relationship, but that's the kind of, this is my husband and this is my friend, and husband outranks friend, let's go. No question. Yes, it was a good scene. Even True Lies dealt with the couple's issues. Yeah, some cringy bits in there too. I remember liking it when it came out, and now being open to a spy saying, yes, I've killed people, but only the bad ones, is a little scary. Yes, I have not seen Deadpool, actually, So there's discussion of Deadpool in the chat. I will take your word for it. Although, kids are asleep saying Deadpool fridged the girlfriend. Yeah, also fridging girlfriends. You can have people haunted by loss that has nothing to do with their romantic partner. I think Peter Parker's constant stress that Aunt May's gonna find out is interesting. You know, the secrets you have to keep from people you love. That's interesting. So it's, you know, it's a long way of saying, when you're making the relationships in your stories, think about if you can make some with some pretty solid foundations. Because we all know that even in exciting stories, it's nice to have a moment, a chapter, or a scene even, where you can go, okay, that's over. I'm relieved. And having that foundation with somebody, either friends or romantic partners or parent-child relationship or any relative, that could give you that relaxation and that safe place to go and relax from the story. Yes, in video games you have safe zones where you, the player, can rest for a minute. Although, you know what, kids are asleep? I was totally botching the hunting grounds. I'm going to talk about Horizon Zero Dawn here for a minute. Sorry about that. I was totally botching the hunting grounds where the tramplers and the birds are. And I kited all of the birds back up the hill with me. So there was a storm bird and a couple of glint hawks, and they're attacking me. And the funny thing is, because I'm in the quote-unquote safe zone of the hunting grounds, every time they shoot at me and I try to grab the bow, Aloy's like, oh, it's not sporting to shoot them from up here. I should go down on the ground. And I'm like, they're trying to kill me. I think I'm allowed to defend myself. But no. Sorry about that. Yeah. Interesting thing about Horizon Zero Dawn is the fact that Aloy is entirely solo. She makes allies, but there is no point in the game where she thinks, that I can remember, that she thinks, I'm going to need some help. You want to come with? No, she's just like, y'all stay back here. I'm going to go do the hard part, and then you can come in. And because they made a lot of interesting characters, I don't know what other people shipped, but I was shipping her with half the people that she really made closer bonds with than other people. But yeah, she has one goal in life, and she is entirely focused on that. And you can tell people are falling for her, but she's just... The hunting grounds are hard. Why are you being sporting with robot dinosaurs? Exactly. Edward says, I feel like there's an enormous amount of drama to be found in Peter and MJ trying to keep the secret of Spider-Man, and MJ feeling like this is a lot. Yes, her knowing is also a lot of stress. Yeah, it impacts her life to keep that secret from everybody else. It's stressful. One goal, many quests. So yeah, I'm just babbling about character relationships in games at this point, but in books too, it's good to have a safe person to go to, and think about putting that in your books. You can find conflict in that relationship. It just may not be the obvious one, which would be a breath of fresh air. I was playing Hate, an Analog Story, I think. Yes, I'm looking at it right now. And it's a story about a young woman who was horribly treated and killed a bunch of people because of it. And as you're reading it, it gets to be kind of... You kind of get the feeling in every other story you've heard that it's going to be more of a sexual assault situation. Content warning, sorry. But it's not. And what had happened to her was absolutely horrific. It was awful. But it was not that thing that's triggering for so many people. And I just wanted to take my hat off to people. Not today, because I haven't washed my hair. But take my hat off to the designers, because they were really going in a direction I thought that was the easy way to go, and they did not do that. Okay, Kimmy says, what I hate is when a character reveals or finds out a secret, in the end of the episode they get amnesia or whatever, so there's no untidy consequences for the writer to keep up with. Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday. It's like, have we ever seen Superman with the ability to erase minds with a kiss? Or is that only Superman 2? Yeah, that's a magical Deus Ex Machina stuff, yeah. But, you know, Lois did show the danger of knowing his secret. She was really, really freaked out because she was waiting for him and she knew he was battling these evil people from space. Miraculous is the most wild example of secrets and avoiding them in amnesia. I'm not sure what you're talking about, Kids Are Asleep. Is that Miraculous? Is that a story? I actually don't know. French cartoon about two teenage supers. Okay. Yeah, so I've been talking about this for a while. I didn't even make a break to where my producer can call it an official podcast. Yeah. Again, if you're newer coming in, I've had a hell of a week or 2 weeks. And need to take some time off. I'm going to do my streams this week, and then I'm going to take next week off of streaming so I can get my head back on, get my fiction requirements done, and that's what I need to do. I'm going to see if there's anybody we can raid, and I'll do the official exiting of the podcast. If anybody has any questions, let me know. I realize I probably should have done that in the first place about relationships, the strong ones are the ones that have constant conflict. Edward writes, have you written for any video games yet, or are you aiming towards that? I wrote for Torment, Tides of Numenera, and I think that's it. Does Zombies Run count? I wrote a race for the Zombies Run app that has nothing to do with zombies, but is a dark fantasy about an old lady who carves little household gods. And it's called Godmaker, and you can get the first 2 episodes free with the Zombies Run app. But yeah, so that was very exciting. That's a very exciting opportunity and very exciting for me to tell a story I'd been wanting to tell for a while and couldn't quite find the right place to tell it. So, yes, I've written 4 the Zombies Run world, and I've written 2 races. One with Alistair Stewart called Wreck Runner, which is a sci-fi scavenging race, and Godmaker. So, yeah, that's what I'd love to do more. I would love to do a narrative branching game. I would love to do multiple romance options and different paths the character can take. It all seems like such a big job. I don't know where to start. Anyway, thank you for listening to I Should Be Writing. If you would like to hear the extended version of this episode, you can support at Patreon for as little as $1 at patreon.com/mightymer, or you could just come hang out with us on Twitch, where we will keep going with this conversation. You can learn more about me and my books and my podcasts at merverse.com. You can email me your questions about writing at mightymer@gmail.com. My socials are Twitter, mightymer, Instagram, when I remember to put something up, and that's mightymer2. And you can catch this show and my other streams live on Twitch, twitch.tv/mightymer. So that's it for me. I'll see you next time. And until then, you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.